This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is coming along to 5:08 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So yesterday, the Prime Minister's Office released a statement confirming the reappointment of three special envoys for foreign relations. For a number of reasons, which we're just about to get into, this has prompted pretty fierce criticism.
So these envoys were actually appointed by former Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin last year, and they have now since been reappointed. Many are pointing out, of course, that the cabinet also didn't change very much. Importantly, the envoy role comes with the rank of a ministerial rank and the paycheck that goes along with it. And just to run down the list of who these people are, so the special envoy to the Middle East is past President Dato Sri Abdul Hadi Awang, special envoy to China, Progressive Democratic Party President Dato Sri Tiong King Singh, and special envoy to East Asia is Syrian MP Richard Riot from the Sarawak United People's Party.
So to that criticism that we were talking about earlier, we've seen, for example, from Professor Dr. P. Ramasamy, Deputy Chief Minister of Penang, questioning the professional and diplomatic qualities of those reappointed arguing that these are political appointments to appease the different political parties within the coalition of Perikatan Nasional and question really the need for these appointments at this time. We also have a veteran journalist, Khadi Jassin, asking why we need special envoys when we already have ministers and professional diplomats serving as ambassadors and high commissioners. And Norman Goh, who we are going to speak to very shortly, also wrote a Twitter post that has gained quite a bit of traction, highlighting the funds that go into paying the salaries of these envoys, saying that they could have just been channeled to Wisma Putra instead. And I think that all of those, they're all separate arguments, but they're all equally salient. So the point here about qualifications is an important one. I don't think anyone is disputing the fact that these are regions and countries that we want to have a good relationship with, that we want to maintain friendly ties, that we want to encourage further economic ties with. All those things, I think, are perfectly relevant. Now, the question of why we need envoys specifically to do that and how the envoys were chosen, I think, does need to be asked.
Yes, and you know, this is coming on the back of conversations about having a leaner cabinet, a leaner government, in conversations about spending less in these, not just specifically for the envoys, but even ministries and how much they spend on resources. And so I think this question of why do we need these appointments when we already have diplomats whose jobs are to do the same thing is a relevant one. And in a larger sense, then the qualification of the people appointed, if you are putting them in a role that is so important, are they actually qualified to hold that position? Will they add value to those roles? These are all part of the criticism that's being thrown out. And this question of politically motivated appointments, of course, we've seen it brought up with ministers as well, especially because of it being a coalition party, the need to make every component of that coalition feel relevant and important and sort of brought into the fold. But ultimately, what does that benefit the rakyat?
Yeah, the other thing, speaking of the rakyat and the fact that accountability is an important question, right? How exactly do we keep the people who are supposed to be serving us accountable? And this is something that we grapple with on every level, except essentially the local level. When it's one step removed from us, I think there's a pretty direct idea of how it is that we can get in touch with people, how it is that we can keep them accountable. And even then, but for ministries and the like, there are questions constantly about how exactly we track the work, how exactly we understand what they're doing with the allocations that they've received, what they're doing with for the paychecks that they're getting. So that's even on a ministerial level. With something like an envoy, I'm wondering how we're going to understand the issues of things like KPIs. Whether that's going to be firmly stated and therefore we'll be able to understand when they've been met, or the KPIs, or at least a communication of that, would also answer some of the questions we're talking about now, which is to say the goals of these roles, right? Because by setting it out, you're telling us what they're expected to do.
Yeah, I mean, what's a good envoy? How do you know their job is well done? What is the outcome of a position like that? A lot of questions. And I don't know. I think that coming at this point in time, when we've been talking about economic recovery, when we're talking about pandemic, the reason that this has brought up, again, that question of why these roles exist and how people are appointed to it is precisely because people feel like perhaps there are other concerns and other other things that these sorts of resources could be put towards.
So we want to know, what are your thoughts on the story, these special envoys that have been, depending on how you want to look at it, appointed, reappointed? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us after to comment further on this is Norman Goh, independent journalist. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is 5:15 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. Our story today is focused on the reappointment of three special envoys for foreign relations, which has prompted a number of criticisms, not least because this role does come with a ministerial rank. And these individuals were actually appointed by the former Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. And there have been questions around a number of things which we ran through earlier, but some of that also focuses on, we mentioned the ministerial role. It also comes with a minister's salary. And that's part of what we want to focus on now. In the meantime, though, tell us, what are your thoughts on these special envoys being reappointed? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We are now crossing over to Norman Goh, independent journalist. Norman, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I think it's great.
So let's talk about the reappointment of these special envoys being met with a lot of criticism. Why do you think this is?
I think I was one among those who were being very noisy about it on social media. But again, we're seeing that many people getting appointed into a bloated cabinet of 32 ministers and 38 deputy ministers. The same thing that we're seeing in Muhyiddin's cabinet in the last administration, where he appointed the same people to the position. But what we've got now, basically, it's nearly 90% similar to the previous administration. So because there is an expectation to the Ismail Sabri's administration to at least to shave down the number of people to be appointed into the cabinet, which includes the so-called special envoys. If he were to think about appointing special advisors on public health, that is fine because the main concern of the public right now is on COVID-19. But what purpose do they serve? The three envoys on top of, it's not that we don't have any diplomats or high commissioners or ambassadors being sent to these places. We do have. So there is a, you know, overlapping of roles. But what kind of, you know, it really comes back to the big question is that, what role do they play? What have they contributed?
And these appointments are coming on while we're in the midst of a pandemic. You know, there's this huge focus on economic recovery. Are these factors contributing to that level of criticism and attention that they're getting?
Yes, we are looking at, because the government has been seeing that registering a lower GDP. We are expecting registering a lower GDP this year. So our revenue, our government revenues, and also sources of revenues will be a lot smaller. But on top of that, because of operational costs as well, on top of the COVID-19, the rollout of vaccination. So with that many people, you know, bear in mind, when you appoint a person, when you appoint someone of that stature of a special envoy representing the Prime Minister, it's not just one person. You're going to appoint a driver, you're going to appoint a secretary, a few more officers to help this whole office. So I made a quick calculation. It will actually cost up to about 3 million ringgit per year just to have three special envoys. And that amount of money can be channeled into health ministry or even the Wisma Putra itself. Because we look at the budget in 2021, Wisma Putra's budget is among the smallest, and yet they serve so many missions around the world. Just for 2021 itself, it only has 779 million. While even a department, for example, the Islamic Affairs Department, receive at least 2 to 3 billion ringgit. That is how many times? 4 times bigger? So again, the balancing of that, it's this is very obviously a political decision because the cabinet itself is too big, so they can't expand any further. So the only choice is to have sort of like giving the carrots to this, you know, sharing the spoils of war, but at whose expense? This kind of question, taxpayers' money.
So before we get to the numbers of it, right, I did want to pull back and look at this question of something you raised earlier, which is that we have all these other positions, all these other missions abroad as well. Why do we therefore then have special envoys? You know, how do their roles differ from that of diplomats?
Now, diplomats represent the government of the day. We already have existing. But these special envoys, usually, if we look at some examples, take, for example, ASEAN recently appointed the foreign ministers in ASEAN, recently appointed the second foreign minister of Brunei as the special envoy to Myanmar. That is actually to focus, as it has a certain purpose. It has a specific task. For example, the foreign minister of Brunei, Erwan Yusof, he was appointed to oversee a humanitarian aid package or the ASEAN Coordinating Center for Humanitarian Assistance in Myanmar. We look at other international bodies like United Nations that have special envoys on certain issues. Like, for example, we have special envoy to Haiti back then. I think it was, we even have former presidents who were appointed as special envoys representing the UN Secretary General for a certain purpose. But for this kind of situation, like I mentioned earlier, special envoys to the Prime Minister is not new, but they must have a very clear purpose of why does this administration want to appoint such? And it's not new in Malaysia either. In my opinion, a special envoy should have a certain amount of respect and influence in a particular community or multilateral organizations, be it in South Asia or even in East Asia. So, you know, the Prime Minister for Malaysia itself, we had previous special envoys back in 2011 when former MIC President Sami Velu was appointed a special envoy to India, former MCA President Tan Sri Ong Kah Ting to China, and then the late Jamaluddin Jajis to the US. This is on top of existing ambassadors and our high commissioners in that place. And similarly, at that time, Dato Sri Teong King Singh, during Najib's administration, was appointed to East Asia. At this time, you know, it begs a question, why would you appoint the deputy president of SUPP, the Sarawak United People's Party, Richard Riot, to East Asia? I was like thinking, can he speak any of those languages in this area? Or what kind of contribution? I mean, just take a look at last administration, Muhyiddin itself. What were the contributions? We're not seeing that. And then I think questions were asked during Parliament. I think we have not seen that. And again, it further, you know, those amount of money can help a lot, particularly in our missions in Wisma Putra. And yeah, I think this, it doesn't serve a purpose unless if it is for a special negotiation, a high-level negotiation to represent the Prime Minister. Take, for example, if it is a special envoy to China to renegotiate certain deals or to work on certain collaborative effort together. Let's say, for example, if Malaysia would like to collaborate with China to address on the issues of the context of peaceful coexistence of Islam itself. I think that can be done. But I think for now, I think since the announcement by the Prime Minister over the appointment, there's no clear indication of what they're going to do. So it's just a position on its own.
So briefly, Norman, what do we know about how these envoys are selected?
To be honest, that's a big question for me too. What I would say is that it begs a question everyone is asking. Who are these people? I mean, okay, the past president is also the deputy chairman of the World Ulama. People tend to overlook that. He's also he's holding quite a position there when it comes to the World Ulama position. But when it comes to Middle East, right, we know that the current defense minister, Dato' Sri Hishamuddin Hussein, is very close to some of the Middle East countries when he was with the foreign affairs. That is understandable. But when it comes to the Marang MP, we have yet to see what has it been, his contribution, except for him congratulating Taliban. That is also another question on about what is the government stand where you have a special envoy congratulating Taliban's in Afghanistan. So I think, again, there's no clear cut of how these envoys are being selected. But in my opinion, if the government would really want to have a special envoy, it must come with a purpose. Then it's worth that sort of investment of taxpayers' money to have this special envoy for the government to achieve certain targets. But for now, I think it's more of, you know, sharing the spoils of war, being in from the political impasse.
So let's come back to that 3 million a year. So you did a breakdown of the finances. Could you share how you arrived at that number?
Yes. Basically, for a post as a minister, you get a basic salary of about 20,000 ringgit. And then we all know that the three special envoys are also MPs. That's also another 20,000 ringgit. So add up around, you get about 55,000. And then from there, you got to expect that the special envoy are going to have offices as well. Say, for example, at least three offices. I mean, for a cabinet minister during Pakatan Harapan's time, they have at least seven offices. I think today, one of the ministers, I think we checked one of the director of the ministers, I think, I don't know name. I think you can actually check it out yourself. I think more than 10, 20 officers have been appointed in that team. So let's say in an average of three officers, you have a driver again. So that makes up of about 200,000 per month for one minister, I think. Yeah. So with that, you know, does this actually help in we would calculate that for three special envoys coming to about 3.09 million. That's a lot of money. That would actually fund, to fund one of the departments in Wisma Putra in one whole year budget. That's a huge number of people within that department. So I would really question what's the purpose of appointing the special envoys and what are the expected KPIs from this special envoy and who do they respond to? Do they actually report back to the parliament or what they have done? I understand that the new foreign minister, Safruddin Abdullah, announced that he's going to call for setting up of the parliamentary special select committee on foreign policy affairs in the parliament. So we will have to see and wait and see what's coming up from there. And I think MPs will be questioning the foreign minister as well as the prime minister on what are they expecting from the special envoys.
So you've brought up Wisma Putra a couple of times. I wanted to expand on that a little bit. What more do you think our Foreign Affairs Ministry could be doing, especially with funds like what has been channeled to the envoys?
There are a lot of things they can do. I mean, in pushing of our national interests in several countries, and also because a lot of our missions, we have more than, I think, 100 over missions around the world. And a lot of our assets are also deteriorating. For example, cars, housing, our offices needs repair. And these are some of the examples of some of the assets that really require some budget. And not only that, sometimes when you need to promote national interest, for example, it can be trade. Of course, we have MAR trade offices and all that. But the main body is our mission abroad. So you need these funds for example, celebration of National Day, visits, or even organizing campaigns in certain countries. All these need money. And we don't have, again, Wisma Putra with so many missions and with such limited budget, we can't really push that far in terms of our national interest in certain areas. Even in the UN, we have missions in working in Geneva. We have missions in New York, as well as our ASEAN office. We have the ambassador of Indonesia working in Jakarta, but we also have a representative, Malaysian representative in ASEAN Secretariat. So these are also needed by Wisma Putra in terms of their work, bilateral and multilateral work as well. And multilateral, when it comes to multilateral participation, Malaysia is also part of a lot of organizations as well. For example, aside from ASEAN, there's UN, there's also the Non-Aligned Movement, the organizations of Islamic countries. So these, they require yearly contributions from member states as well. So if we want to do better in terms of our presence and also Malaysia's influence in foreign policy, we require investment as well into Wisma Putra, then it will be more beneficial as a whole. Since, after all, Malaysia is very dependent on trade and we are a trading nation, what more important is to push both Wisma Putra and the international trade together.
Norman, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Norman Goh, independent journalist, talking about the reappointment of three special envoys, which has prompted some criticism. We'd like to hear your thoughts. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at PFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.